Thank you, Sam. That was very, very beautiful. I couldn't help but, as I was sitting there listening to it, and everything was just calm and peaceful. And that's part of the service, too, as we're hearing that offertory. You know, any service for that matter, the audience, the congregation, the speakers, the music, we're all in it together, aren't we, brethren? So we hope that we are all having a wonderful Feast of Pentecost so far. It's a beautiful service here. This, what a delightful place to meet. It's been quite a few years, and certainly with a background in music, I enjoyed very much. The opening songs, just very inspiring. Could hear people singing, and it's very, very, very fine. I know the afternoon service will be as well. Well, brethren, today is the Feast of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the First Fruits, and on this day, the beginning of God's New Testament church occurred, as described in Acts 2, when God gave very powerfully his Holy Spirit to his church. We're not going to go into all of that this particular time. It'll be covered this afternoon, I'm pretty sure. In this message, we will focus on the Spirit of God, however, which has been given to us as a gift by our loving, merciful, and wonderful God. Now, this morning, the first message was also focused on the Spirit of God, but there's so much to that wonderful gift that God gives us. After his resurrection, before he returned to heaven, Jesus Christ informed his disciples that they would receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. This is mentioned in Acts 1, 4 through 5. You can turn there. I'm going to read it. Acts 1, 4, 5, just before Pentecost, Jesus had his disciples there, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Brethren, before we were called by God into his church, which is the body of Christ, we were living our lives based on a powerful and invisible spirit of Satan the devil. We were groping in spiritual blindness, and this evil spirit somehow influenced us to live our lives based on sin. This evil spirit of Satan is invisible, but nevertheless, it is powerful and influences the attitudes of people who are not even aware of what is happening, and that was happening to us. This world we live in today, as we know, is filled with the influence of the deceiver, Satan the devil. Let's read Ephesians 2, the first two verses, where it describes that. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now we understand that spirit is the spirit of Satan, the devil. Let's continue from a good news article, which is called or named The Holy Spirit, God's Power at Work. It was written by Scott Ashley. I'll begin the quote. The Bible uses spirit to designate an invisible, immaterial, powerful influence whose characteristics are absorbed and then exhibited in the attitudes and conduct of the general population of a given people. God's Spirit plays a vital role in our lives. It dwells within Christians, allowing the miraculous transformation, and that's important, miraculous transformation to take place. Paul talks about the transformation in Romans 8, again emphasizing the two ways to live. So I would ask at this time, turn to Romans 8. There's two verses there, 5 and 6, which certainly apply to this day, brethren. Romans 8, 5 through 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, which dwells in you. These are verses 5 through 6, and also we had 9 and 11. Now, God's Spirit, brethren, enables the ultimate change to take place for carnal, selfish humans to become converted in this life and ultimately be transformed into God's very children. That's our goal. Changed into immortal, glorified sons of God. Powerful language that we have heard for many years, brethren. And in this phrase, in these passages in Romans 8, 5 through 6, the word spirit or spiritual are used 9 times. And we can notice the comparisons between God's spirit and human spirit or the human carnal approach to life that are being given in this passage. And simply, this is what the comparisons are. People who live without God's Spirit will have their minds focused on the things of the flesh, while people who live according to God's Spirit in them will be focused on the things of the Spirit. After Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he was no longer a human. He was no longer bound by his mortal body. He is now alive in the Spirit, and that is our hope, to be totally alive in the Spirit of God when we are resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ. And I mention totally because that's what's going to happen. Our loving God is the sovereign God. He is proactive, and he is not reactive. This means he takes the initiative by acting rather than reacting to events. He is sovereign. He has a wonderful, great plan for all of mankind, and he will make sure the plan is completed. His Holy Spirit plays a very active part in his plan. So today, brethren, let us describe some important values that God's Spirit has for us to learn and develop. First, number one, from Scripture, the Scripture, John 4:24. John 4:24. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now notice that it states that God is Spirit. It does not say that he is a spirit, but that he is spirit. He is not a physical personage, but is immaterial. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. When you think of the third commandment, you can be sure that it is involved in how we worship God. You shall not take the name of your God in vain. Think of those words. You shall not take the name of your God in vain. We can take God's name in vain if we do not worship him properly, brethren. It's not just a matter of saying words in vain, that's another topic. But if we don't worship God, we could be liable for violating that commandment. Let me continue. We as God's children, as we live our lives, actually are representing our loving God and our Savior in our day-to-day living, how we conduct ourselves. And God's Holy Spirit can guide us and give us wisdom and direction on a daily basis if we will utilize it. So as we study this scripture, let's realize that God is the source of our existence, and therefore, worshiping God should include our day-to-day way of living. I'm talking about the scripture that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Without this source of living, which is God, we could not exist. Worshiping God should not just be confined to the Sabbath day or to the Sabbath service itself. We need to utilize God's Holy Spirit continually in our lives, in our thoughts, our words, and in our actions. It is the gift of God, and which has been given to us in order to worship him in spirit and in truth, continually in our daily living. The worship of God should be continual spiritual action in us through his spirit. God's Holy Spirit in us is expected to be continually activated and utilized in our worship of him. It is a living spirit. It's not a dead spirit. Let's remember the scripture from 2 Timothy 1:7. Was mentioned in the first sermon. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Brethren, we have a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind that was given to us by God through Jesus Christ. And where does it come from? Those terms, not fear, power, love, and sound mind. They come from God Almighty. God's Holy Spirit in us will lead us into all truth of how to live God's way. Can we imagine using our human spirit just once a week? Can you imagine that? Or skip several days and not the rest of the week? We know that would not work. We could not live that way, obviously. So, brethren, worshiping God through the utilization of his spirit would include our behavior, our conduct at work, at home, the way we speak and act towards other people. Worship includes the way we represent God on a daily basis, which implies that we should live each day according to the will of God. It involves our daily prayer life, our daily reading and study of the Bible, which implies our spiritual bread of life from our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to worship God through our daily thinking and meditation on God, again, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and High Priest, who lives in us. Worshiping God involves our total submission of obedience to the commandments of God. Worshiping God involves how we conduct our relationships with people, and of course, our continual relationship with God our Father and Jesus Christ. Brethren, God and Jesus Christ want us to cooperate with them. They want us to talk to them through prayer. They want us to learn as much as we can about them. Worshiping God involves the totality of how we live. This includes how we treat the Sabbath day and how we treat the holy days that God has given us to understand. The worship of God involves our love toward God and our love toward man, which we know as serving as Christ serves. That's what's being emphasized by the United Church of God. It should involve our gratefulness for his calling, his love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his protection, and of course, his gift of his Holy Spirit and his gift of faith, which have been given to us by God in order to worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, worship of God involves His Holy Spirit, the gift that God has given to us who have been baptized and converted. Worshiping properly our loving God involves His truth. God will not accept a type of worship that is based on falsehood. God will not accept so-called worship that involves pagan customs, such as Christmas, Easter, Halloween, or for that matter, any custom that cannot be supported by the commandments of God. Turn to John 17. John 17, verse 16, we'll be reading verses 16 through 19. John 17, 16 through 19. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus Christ is speaking. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. To sanctify means to set apart. Jesus is mentioning and praying that he is asking God the Father, separate them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. So we are to be sanctified or set apart by God to live our lives close to him. God's word is truth, brethren. God's word is also spiritual. His words come from his mind. We are to live our lives based on the truth of God, which involves obedience, loving him, praying to him, studying his word of truth, obeying his commandments, which teach us how to live. Now, although the Sabbath and the Sabbath service is certainly a time to worship God, we must recognize that worshiping God is a spiritual action and involves the Spirit of God along with our human spirit, which has been connected to God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God and involves the mind of God, and which is in those who have been given this spiritual gift, is vital in our worshiping God properly. Worshiping God should involve our thinking of how great, our wonderful, and powerful God is. And he is greatly to be praised. I'm going to read Psalm 145 right now in the Amplified version, because you can turn to it. Powerful language about praising God. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever with grateful, affectionate praise. Every day, with its new reasons, I will bless you affectionately and gratefully praise you. Yes, I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is so vast and deep as to be unsearchable. And we know that especially in the last several chapters of Psalms, there's an emphasis on praising God for how great a God he is. The second topic that I will now focus on is that God's Holy Spirit in us occurs in the mind. God's Holy Spirit in us occurs in the mind. We should realize that God opens the minds of those he calls. I think we all know that in John 6:44. To be able to see and understand the spiritual principles of how to live according to his way of living. This produces the spiritual joining of two minds, the spiritual mind of God and our human mind. The mind of God and the mind of man are to become one mind. God gives to us important information that is in the essence of his mind to join with our mind. The meaning of the word holy actually also means different, set apart, which is sanctified. God's spirit is far different from man's spirit. It has been sanctified or set apart, brethren. God's spirit is different and holy compared to human spirit because it is clean or spotless. It is not contaminated. It is transcendent, which means it exists outside the material universe and so is not limited by it. It is pure. It is completely wholesome and unpolluted and is far, far superior to the human spirit that all humans are given. God graciously provides His Spirit as a spiritual gift in order for us to understand His spiritual concepts, which will enable us to live our lives according to His will. We must see God's Spirit in order to make sure that we are close to God. We must use God's Spirit, in order to make sure that we are close to God. We do this by loving Him, loving our fellow man, living by faith, trusting and obeying Him, living our lives according to His will, not our will. It is God's will that everyone will receive the opportunity to understand His great plan. Everyone who has ever lived will receive that chance to understand and be given the opportunity to repent of his or her sins and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Brethren, we have been blessed to receive this great knowledge in our lifetimes. God gives the gift of God's Holy Spirit to guide us and help us to live our lives each day according to His will. And we all need to come into alignment with God's standards and His will for each one of us. It's very obvious that if God's standards and His will are one thing and our actions are another, then we are not in alignment. We are off the mark, and we are not in line with what God wants us to do. We would be in an attitude of sinning, actually. We would obviously not be doing God's will. The following scriptures describe some of God's basic standards and His will for us to follow. You don't need to turn there. You know them. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus is speaking. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. The love of God focuses on the importance of us keeping His commandments. And we must realize that God is love, brethren. That means that everything, every action that is done by God is based on His love toward mankind. God loves us, and we're expected to love Him back. And also to love our fellow man, which means that our actions toward our neighbor, our friends, our brethren, must be based on God's love, which is in us through His Holy Spirit. And God expects us to keep all of His commandments. Keeping God's commandments of love demonstrate to God that we love Him and that we're growing in His love for all mankind. Now, obviously, we're not perfect yet, but we must strive to do that. Remember the first four commandments are based on loving God, and the last six are based on loving one another. Jesus Christ in John 6:63 makes some revealing comments about the Spirit of God. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The Spirit gives life, brethren. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Now, we can see a major difference between God's Spirit and our human spirit. God's spirit, which imply his thoughts, his word, his way and how we live, will produce life, eternal life, which is the way God lives. During this life, we're progressing in knowing God and developing his image. When we will be changed into spirit beings and receive eternal life, we will totally live the way God lives. We will know God and Jesus Christ totally, and living God's way produces life-giving eternal life, because we will be a member of God's family. We will be God. I think we understand that. We will be totally immersed with the way God lives, the way God thinks, the way Jesus Christ thinks, and the way Jesus Christ lives, and he lives in us. We will really know God so intimately. Jesus Christ, when he was praying for his disciples, which includes us in John 17:3, he mentioned, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God has called us, brethren. He's giving us a way we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. Yes, we're still physical. Yes, we still sin. Yes, we still stumble. But we're heading toward eternal life. We're heading toward that first resurrection. God expects us to utilize his Holy Spirit daily in our lives, and how we worship him and how we live our lives totally. During this lifetime that we are living in, it is extremely important for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as mentioned in 2 Peter 3:18. Can we understand that? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we really realize what that scripture means? It means that we're expected to become more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. How can we do that, brethren? We must utilize God's Holy Spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Jesus Christ was made a life-giving spirit. He always produces life. He lives in us. So we need to think about this as we continue living as much as we can God's ways. Thoughts and words are spirit. God's thoughts are holy thoughts, holy words, and holy spirit. Now in Isaiah 55:8, it mentions, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And in Psalm 35, it says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them who put their trust in him." So God will give us more of his thoughts if we want those thoughts in our minds, if we ask for them, if we pray for them, and we do our part by studying his scriptures. In Psalm 139:17, it says, Psalm 139:17, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Psalm 12:6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." So God definitely has thoughts there in his word for us to follow. We know the familiar scripture of Philippians 4:8, where it says, Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things." These are God's thoughts that he wants us to utilize, brethren, as we live our lives. And then it says, do these things and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with us, brethren. We won't need to bicker with one another or with others. We won't need to fight verbal thoughts, fight verbal words. They're very, very encouraging words, brethren. God will be with us. Our minds and our thoughts should not dwell at all on the evil things of the world and its system of evil. 1 John 2:15, it's very clear. I'll read it. We've heard it. We've read it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So it's pretty obvious, brethren, if our minds are dwelling on evil, our thoughts, of course, will come out as evil thoughts. Our actions will come out. We may think they're all right, but actually it's turning God's way into our ways. Now, we know that if Jesus was here today, would he take part in filling his mind with the mass media that's going on in this world today? We know he would not. Let's remember that Jesus Christ lives in us. We must make sure that we're letting God the Father's Spirit, which is the same as Jesus Christ, living in us, and we will be producing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our daily living, as mentioned in Galatians 5:22, which were mentioned earlier. I won't repeat those, but there they are. In Galatians 5:22. So as we look at what I was just commenting on, brethren, let's look at the conclusion of this sermon. God called us out of the evil system and confusion of this world and it's the wrong way of life. When we repented of our sins, accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior from eternal death, and were baptized, God gave us the gift of his Holy Spirit, because we cannot become his spiritual children without his Holy Spirit living and working in us as we live. God gave us his Holy Spirit in order for us to learn how to become his children, his sons and his daughters, and to become like him and Jesus Christ, our older brother. We want God and Jesus Christ to recognize us. Oh, yes, I remember you. You were striving. You were working hard. Of course, you would be resurrected. Brethren, we're all a part of the church of God, the body of Jesus Christ. We're also known as the Israel of God, as stated in Galatians 6:16. We are expected to utilize this wonderful gift that has been placed in our minds. We must utilize it in how we pray, how we study God's word, how we meditate, how we fast, and of course, how we live our lives each day. We know that the Holy Spirit comes to us from the mind of God. Our loving and faithful God will help us to use their Spirit wisely, but we must ask him to help us to use it to honor him, to honor Jesus Christ, and to live our lives according to their will, of course, according to their standards and their commandments of love. Brethren, we're so blessed to understand the purpose of the Feast of Pentecost. Our loving God and Father has given us his Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that God, the Son, has, Jesus Christ, because they want us to become like Jesus Christ, and they want us to become active participants in the coming kingdom of God. And so when Christ returns to this world, we'll be a participant when he comes to this world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.